honestly, if a Muslim family moved next door to you, you would be the happiest person in the world. First of all, the chances of your kids getting in trouble just went way down, okay? Went way down, because the Muslim community has the lowest crime rate, the highest entrepreneurship, the highest educational attainment for women in the country. They are the model American community. And so when you have people who are now afraid to come here, and that's starting to happen, you have geniuses who are from Pakistan, who are from Indonesia, who now that I don't know if I'm safe here, that becomes an economic problem for America long term. So that we're starting to do stuff here that doesn't make good sense for what has made us great so far.
Keeping it real, real's how we keep it. Get ready for Eddie. Send back the Eddie Show.
Assalamu alaikum. I just met my brother William. Assalamu alaikum, William.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How you guys doing? Alhamdulillah, it's always exciting to meet people who have found this beautiful way of life, and we want to pick their brains to see why did they accept Islam? Why did you accept Islam?
Well, it was the fitrah, the spiritual truth, looking for, you know, the oneness of God, the who is our creator, what is our purpose, who is our Lord. And, you know, it took half my life, but it came to fruition through ibtila, through, you know, struggle. This is why, like you were speaking earlier about, you know, and the other brother was, about struggles and, you know, how we have to look at, this is the test from Allah. This is what makes us who we are. We're supposed to accept it, struggle through it. If it was easy, we wouldn't be Muslim, right? You know, this is what Allah has for us, to test us. We have to sow the seeds for the akhirah. Right.
So. Tell me, William. There's so much misinformation, and there's so much dirt put over Islam. But many people, like yourself, when they dig a little bit, they find the treasure. So for people who are out there, they see you, white American. They hear the word Allah. They think of Islam as something so foreign and strange. It's for the other. But then they see an American. They see someone, he's a practicing Muslim. You know, what do you have to say for those people who are scared? They think that Islam is like the boogeyman coming to get you.
Well, this is what I usually tell people, because I do, alhamdulillah, I've been blessed to be able, as an American, to be able to reach out, speak to my fellow Americans from the same culture, is that I tell them most Muslims are Americans, that much of our culture and history here in America, Muslims have always been there. Islam has always been part of it. Founding fathers had a Quran, knew about Islam, understood, you know, the justice of the laws, how the Ottoman Caliphate operated at that time. They had contacts. Kingdom of Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States. You got to remember, many of our African brothers and sisters who came for hundreds of years against their will were Muslims. And some of them were allowed to maintain their deen. And we have these stories and these narratives preserved. So Islam has always been here. It's always been part of it. And so we're as much of the fabric of this country and this history. You know, and I like to trace it back, being from Detroit. If you look at the auto industry, you know, economists and historians will say this is what built the middle class here in the 20th century, was the auto industry. Well, what was a big part of the auto industry? We know Detroit was the mecca of it, right? Arab Americans, Muslim and Christian. That was what grandfather did when he came here over 100 years ago. He worked on the Ford assembly line. And then, like many Lebanese, he went and started his own business. Entrepreneurship. We helped build this country. So we're just as much as any other group. And so, you know, and I let people know, we're not a bunch of weird foreigners. We're everyday people, just like everybody else. And sure, we have these same struggles. We got first generation, second generation, third generation, fifth generation. And if you, again, look at our African American brothers and sisters, how many generations do they go back? Do they discover, look for their identity, and they find out, you know what, I'm a Muslim. That's who my people were, and are.
Many people, they get, you know, when you start to explain, like, they hear this word Allah, you know, you tell them that, look, Jesus, he spoke Aramaic, he would say, Allah, Muslim is simply one, like in the Lord's Prayer. It said, O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done. And I'm a Muslim, I'm one who submitted to the will of God. So you didn't do nothing weird, nothing strange. You submitted yourself like Jesus to the Creator. Tell me, what is one of the major misconceptions that people have that you come across when you're, you know, sharing the message? What's one of the number one things that people fear or they misunderstand about Islam in your experience?
Well, it's kind of changed. And at first it was, you know, the misconception that we don't have Jesus. We do have Jesus. And that's one of the things that was the guiding factor for me, was I can still love Jesus. And I have to love Jesus as a Muslim. So although this still exists, the understanding about Mary and Jesus, alayhi salam, on both of them, but also the intention, they think there's an agenda, that our agenda is to establish control over people from a top-down way. This is obviously not correct. This is not the minhaj of the Prophet. He emboldened people with faith. This is what Allah gave him. The earliest revelations were about iman and accountability and our place with the Creator. That's what the early, and this is what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to be benefiting mankind and our society. So this is the misconceptions, and we've got to do our part physically to show, because the Christians and the Jews and our cousins and Jews have been doing it for a long time, been doing social justice work. We have to follow in the footsteps of our cousins more. We really got to get out there. And that's the biggest misconception. And one journalist said it great. I'm sorry I'm taking a lot of time, but I want to put it out there. Van Jones said a very good thing that I always say. He mimicked what I say, and he's not even Muslim. And he said,
honestly, if a Muslim family moved next door to you, you would be the happiest person in the world. First of all, the chances of your kids getting in trouble just went way down, okay? Went way down, because the Muslim community has the lowest crime rate, the highest entrepreneurship, the highest educational attainment for women in the country. They are the model American community. And so when you have people who are now afraid to come here, and that's starting to happen, you have geniuses who are from Pakistan, who are from Indonesia, who now that I don't know if I'm safe here, that becomes an economic problem for America long term. So that we're starting to do stuff here that doesn't make good sense for what has made us great so far.
The best people you want as your neighbor are Muslims. These are the people you want as your neighbor. And he gave all the reasons why. These are the people with, you know, the highest income, less crime, statistically, and the people who contribute the most to our society is the good practicing Muslim. So when people ask me the question, the biggest question that they have, misconception, fundamentalist Islam. They hear this word fundamental, and I say that's where you get it wrong. This is where our society has misinterpreted that word. For Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and any faith, if you observe the fundamental principles, then you're supposed to be a good person. You're supposed to not be a judgmental person and a negative person. You're supposed to be a positive, contributing, loving, caring, kind person. So fundamentalists, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And those who call themselves fundamentalists and are judgmental and hateful, they got it wrong. They got it wrong, whatever faith they are.
That's amazing, you know, to see people like yourself who are searching for purpose, you know, and had an open heart. You think that's one of the key, you know, ingredients, that you've got to be open, you got to be sincere, and you've got to be searching for the truth. It's got to, what do you think is the ingredient to finding, because many people say, there's so many religions, they're all the same, it's a crutch, I don't need a religion, it's just something to, you know, control the masses. What do you say to that?
Well, in some ways, when you look at how people have manipulated people for their intentions, right, this is true. But that's why we use the word deen, right? You know this, ad-deen, Mr. Ad-deen. Deen is a way of life. So when we understand, you know, the Quran, you know, we have the final element that existed in all other faiths, that Allah has guidance for us for every aspect of our life, for our physical and the spiritual nature. See, that's what man has gone astray. They forgot the combination of the two. So for those who say that, if you understand that you've got two halves of your existence that you've got to feed, then you'll get past all the dogma. You'll get past all that. And you just have to ask that Creator for whatever, however you would define it. You know, a very good book to read about Tawhid, believe it or not, was the Alcoholics Anonymous book, the Little Blue Book. Because the guy who wrote that book, he said, look, just pray to whatever higher power you acknowledge. He's talking fitra. He's talking, he didn't know anything about Islam, I'm assuming, I don't know. But if you ask whatever higher power, give me guidance, let me find what it is you want me to do to guide me, Allah's going to answer that dua if you're sincere. It doesn't matter. And you eventually, you'll get past that negativity about, oh, it's just system, it's just bureaucracy, it's just control. Whatever. You do it on your own. You talk to Allah only, your Creator, however you want to call that Creator, and you're going to get an answer. Somewhere you're going to feel that answer.
beautiful. That makes sense, doesn't it? You don't pray to a stick, a stone, a bone, a man, a woman, a dead person in the grave, but the one who created you. You reach out and say, oh, my creator, the one who created me, the one who fashioned me, guide me. What do you want from me in this life? You did it. You're a Muslim now.
Alhamdulillah.
So last closing piece of advice for those people who are struggling. You know, 1 in 10 people, they say, are on antidepressants. You have, according to the CDC, you have the second leading cause of death is suicide amongst kids from the age of 10 to 24. You know, so many people, there are more people on painkillers than on nicotine. I mean, it's, you know, you know that 5%, get this, we consume, we're 5% of the global population, and we consume, not we, but people in America, they consume 80% of the cocaine. So people are getting doped up, drugged up. Alcohol is just consuming them at the pubs. You're fed up with it. You tune into the Dean Show. You've been led to it now. But now they have this trepidation. They think like Muslim terrorists, you know, I'm going to join this weird cult. What do you got to say?
You know what? If there's something wrong with it, you know, it must be good because people are trying to attack it so much. Ooh. And I can tell you what I see. Day and night, we have people, just because we make ourselves open, our masjid, our center in Detroit, I just have a neon open sign in front of our door on our bookstore, and people come by all the time. And we go out, we do the outreach, we don't sit and wait. But I honestly, at this point, I can sit and wait and people will come. They want to know more. So if it's so bad, why is everyone trying to attack? If it's so bad, then you wouldn't have to, right? They wouldn't have to spend millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to defame our deen and defame our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it was so evident, why do they have to make such an effort? That's because it's good. Because that's shaitan leading them. They choose to follow that path. Those who are the righteous, Allah says, I'm going to test you. And they're going to come after you. And shaitan's going to come after you. So yeah, this is our actual jihad. This is our struggle. So what do I say to you? It's think about it. That's a very, I was able, someone put it to me that way. I don't know who it was I was watching, and they said, if it was so bad, they wouldn't have to do all this work to make it look bad. And when I looked at myself, I looked at the deen, I looked at the history, I looked at the Quran and the Sunnah, and I didn't judge based on people, right? Because we're still people. We err, we have our problems, obviously. But when I looked at the deen, and I looked at the reality of humankind, of our society, I studied the history, I studied the anthropology, and I looked, and the Quran answers all of this throughout time. It's eternal. So, you know, it's evident, it's right there in front of you. If it was so bad and terrible, why is there $200 million plus spent a year and then some by numerous organizations to defame and attack our deen? Because it's good, because it's from Allah, because it's from the Creator. It's just, it's righteousness. And shaitan wants to destroy that. That's why. We're in this fight, and it's a spiritual fight. Join up.
Thank you, William. If you can dig this simple message of worshiping the Creator, not the creation, believing in Jesus as a messenger of God, who called people to the same message as all the other messengers, including Abraham, Moses, John the Baptist, Yahya, Solomon, David, the last and final message, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them. Calling people to paradise, calling them to prepare for the day of judgment, warning them against the hellfire, and to not get attached to something that's temporary. This world, take your share of it, but prepare for the hereafter. It's a simple message. These are the basic principles, and do good, be good, make a positive contribution to making the world a better place. You can dig that. You can dig Islam. It's simple to understand. Call us 1-800-662-ISLAM. Ask those tough questions. Anything you want to know, make the human connection. Come into a mosque. Come and visit William. If they're where can they visit you?
They can visit us at IONA, Islamic Organization of North America, 28630 Ryan Road in the city of Warren, Michigan, 48092. Look us up. Give us a call, 586-558-6900. We'd love to have you come visit us.
Make the human connection. Subscribe if you haven't already. Tune into the Dean Show every week. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to the Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support the Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.